Father, for another time to study your word, to grow in it, to get ready for eternity. We thank you for it. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You that have your Bibles, we're in Romans, the 8th chapter, the 18th verse. That's Romans 18, the 8:18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature, and that's all creation. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, what it is, the complete adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he, that's the Father, that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he, that is the Spirit, maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. There's your purpose. Right there. The purpose is not to be saved or not to be saved. You see that? The purpose was that you be conformed to the image of his son, or what his son is now. A full-grown son, the firstborn among many brethren. Understand that. That is the purpose. That's the eternal purpose we read in Ephesians 3. That was his eternal purpose. So, if we get to that, we'll understand. Remember, there was only one predestinated that is predetermined or determined. And that's Jesus himself. Now, he was predetermined. Understand that. He says in the 3rd chapter of John, when he's saying to them, and they're saying, you're saying about God? Of course, he says, you call them gods. He's saying the rulers. But say of the Son of God, whom was sanctified. Or he was the only one that was set apart. Or he was the only one individually predestinated. In other words, there's no other way but him. Now, we were predestinated in the new creation that He would produce when He come out of the grave. Had I never been born, that would not affect that one iota. See? You all would be here, if you all were here, you would be in the new creation. I trust all of you have been saved. But without Him, there would be nothing. So predestination isn't to be saved or not to be saved. The predestination is the purpose, and the purpose of God was His eternal purpose. In the end of the third chapter of Ephesians tells you His workmanship, His masterpiece, which is in the church, not the kingdom. That masterpiece was His purpose. So if you run into a five-point Calvinist on this, you'll find out that they won't read it like that. They're reading that God foreordained to put this guy in hell and this guy in heaven, and there was no free will. That's what they believe. That's what your Lutherans believe, and most of your Presbyterians, if you run into them. That's what they believe. So on this verse here, there's been many controversy points, and Lord willing, we might get to it tonight. But I want to get back to that verse there where I've been forever. For I reckon, this is 8:18. For I reckon. Now who's reckoning here? Paul. Has anybody suffered like Paul? Do you know anybody that ever suffered like Paul? I mean, he got the tar beat out of him. Has any of you ever been whipped? And you can say, here, you want me to take off my shirt and show you? My back's a whip. Cut to pieces. Here's the scars on my back. You want to look at them? Happened to me 3 times. So he's the one that's reckoning here that suffering is nothing compared to a glory that you can't even imagine. That'll be yours forever. A pillar that'll go no more out. There you'll stand supporting the whole thing with the others that support it. Go no more out. Never again to suffer. So he said, add it up. What glory of this world, if it was for how long, would amount to what is being offered here? Well, of course, anybody in their right mind knows that, right? That's why you're here. Most of you people know that. And that's why you're still here. So you've reckoned it. You've figured it. But then we have to get into the rest of this. See, it still doesn't mean anxiety. It still doesn't mean, like he's going to say, we're moaning and we're groaning. And don't let that be strange. I was saved when I was 4 years old. And I didn't know about, you know, glorified body and things. But there was a lot of times in my life being taught, and I knew that the glorified body, and I'd always, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. In pain. Well, Revelation 21:4. Read over there and it says, no more pain. And I think, no more pain. Man, do I want to get there, Bobby. But then we're not there yet. Are we? So you got pain, don't you? But the day will come when you don't have it. But this ain't that day. So you do have pain. But it'll come. Just like everything else that he said, it's going to happen. And as old Brother Franklin used to say, if God could have ever found another way except determining that his son would go through that suffering and then for sin, don't think he wouldn't have found another way. This is the only way. So he's telling you here that this is the only way if you're going to share in that glory. There isn't another way. If somebody was to, you were crossing an ocean or a desert or something, they'd give you three things. And they'd say, now you hold on to these three things. If you lose them, you're dead. You'll never reach the other side. You lose any one of them, don't think about crossing, because you won't. Well, if you throw away the map of Paul, you'll not get there. If you decide that you know more than the Holy Spirit to guide you through it, you won't get there. And if you throw away the grace message and realize it's just because of grace, who are thou that boast? What do you have that he didn't give you? Huh? Why are you judging another man's servant? Isn't he able to make him to stand just like he made you to stand? See, you will never get to this place, is what he's telling you. Well, Paul knew it. It wasn't something that he experienced. And he's the one that's writing this. And he's the one that figured it all out. So he says, I reckon the suffering of this present time is not even worthy. Not to us. There's going to be glory revealed to that innumerable multitude, to the 12, to the 24, and it's going to be that bride that has this glory in her. That the Song of Solomon finally says there isn't one thing in that that turns me off. Understand that. So he says, for the earnest, and then he goes to the creature Adam brought. All this. Now as God made, he's been going through this. See, God made the garden. He made everything before he made Adam and Eve, so they prepared it for them. But what would have that garden been without Adam? And then where would the completion ever been without Eve? He says you're with patience waiting for it, but what about him? Would you want this glorified body when you got there? And who's it for? Him. See? Without him being there, what is it? Abraham and Sarah, they had their natural life turned back. But I'm sure if you talked to Sarah, if you'd say, now, Sarah, would have you wanted to be young again without Abraham being young again? She'd say, goodness, no. Same way with Abraham. I know God's purpose was for him to go on. But, of course, neither one of us would want to go through it again. But I wouldn't want to be a young again without my wife being young again. See that? That'd just be misery. You understand that? See, you're patiently waiting, but you're mainly patiently waiting to get out of this pain. What about him? How long has he waited? You see, the thing of the job and all that over with. But don't you think he don't long for it to be finished? Huh? To get on with the honeymoon? With you? See? That's what this is all about. Well, this whole creation, Adam brought everything under a curse. So the whole purpose, that's why during the millennium you read about a snake isn't going to bite a child, because that wasn't his purpose. And the lion and the bear and all that, chasing down a cow or a deer or something. See, they says, well, they'll just eat grass together. Because it wasn't the purpose. Now, the devil, it wasn't the purpose of God what he did, but he did it. So everything, as my dad used to say, how would you feel if you were laying on a bed and you'd had every joint in your body pulled out like they used to do with horses and not kill you, but put you on a stretcher rack and pull every one of your joints out of place? He then would say, that's what this is right here. That's what this world is right here. Everything is out of place. And then he'd say the Jews out of his place. The Gentiles out of his place. The bride's out of her place. The devil's out of his place. And all creation is out of their place. And it's going to really take some jolting to get them back. That's why Revelation says they repent not. They don't want to get in their place. But now, as soon as he gets these full-grown sons, now, of course, they'll be translated. And there in the fourth chapter, when that translation happens, they will be there with him. But remember, all these things that are out of place do not want to get into place. And they will refuse. That's the reason for the tribulation. Okay? But this is going to take place. It's going to happen. The expectations of the Son of God, the full-grown Son. Now, he goes in to body here. So if you get confused, first he is from 13 to 19. He's talking about the manifestations of the full-grown sons. He had talked about children. But then he talks about everybody getting a glorified body that is saved or in the church. So realize what he's talking about here. For the creature was made subjected to the emptiness, done not its purpose. That isn't the purpose. Do you think that the purpose of Israel is Israel tonight? or their kingdom. Of course not, author. The purpose is for them to not be the tail, but to be the head. So, it's vanity. It's emptiness. If you're trying to play something that God didn't make you, it's vanity. It's emptiness. And that's why you, if you're out of place, you're groaning and moaning. And the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but reason of him, that's Adam, who brought this on him. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into a glorious liberty. Of all, of course, that's all the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travaileth in pain together unto now. They're out of place. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, this is anybody that's been saved. Because the risen life is in everybody. You understand that? So, naturally, a new creation needs a new body. How could it ever be complete without the new body? It can't. So that new life that's within, it says here, the first fruits of the Spirit, that's when you were born of the Spirit. Now, even ourselves groan within ourselves, and you will, waiting for the adoption. Now, we went through adoption. Adoption is the legal thing. Back in the Roman times, they went into court to adopt. And you adopted a child, which was usually, maybe you just had a lawyer do it. That was the legal part of it. They took all the rights of the natural parents, and you had all the legal rights to that child. That's why adoption is such a legal thing. It's not quite like it was back then, but that's how they did. Now, that might have been done in private. And then the coming out was when you showed off your new child, like a lot of people do. Well, this is where he will show off. But this, the adoption has to have and come in to a new body, a glorified body, until the whole thing is complete. Okay? So, and now, by the way, the adoption going here is not the adoption of Israel over in the ninth chapter. It's not the exact same word as that adoption. But I don't want to get into that. And the Spirit within ourselves waiting for the adoption to take place. The new man has to have the new body. Now, we're saved by hope. A lot of people take this to, see, you got to keep hoping you're saved. That's just talking about the body. We're hoping for the body. But hope that is seen. I haven't got this body yet. Everybody knows that, surely. And neither have you or anybody else. It's great to be born. The natural gift of God. And it shows up in every race. Where there's a man and a woman and they're born gorgeous. They're born with appeal, which soon begins to wane because they're in a corruptible body. Each and every one of them, there isn't one that they couldn't go, even them, and take some improvement. You know, they go work out, even those people, and they improve. Or they go to get a facelift. Some of the most gorgeous people there are do that have been like that. See, they go to get help because they're in a corruptible body. even those people. Because that's where we're at. So we groan and we moan for the day. Everybody will have the adoption, to wit, of course, that has the fruit of the Spirit, or has been born again. Everybody will have it. But some will be so much different as others. As we find out in 1 Corinthians 15, 52. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 52. There you'll find out that Paul's talking about some of them were saying the resurrection. And remember what the subject is there. The subject is resurrection. So he's telling them there. Let me turn over to that real quick. I'll go with 51. Behold, I show ye a mystery. This is a mystery about getting this glorified body. We, of course, we shall not all sleep. Now he's talking about those that won't die up till when Jesus comes back. But we will all be changed. He's saying, now we're all not going to die. Some of us won't die. We'll be alive when Jesus comes. But he says we'll all be changed. Notice he doesn't say we'll all be caught up. We'll all get somewhat of a glorified body as it'll please him to fit what you are exactly. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now notice, this is the last trump. And if there's a last trump, there at least has to be one before that. But there's many. For these different changes. For the trump shall sound, and the dead be raised incorruptible. In other words, they'll be immortal. That's what he's talking about here. Mortal and immortal. And we shall be changed. And this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, he doesn't say, and we shall be caught up. No. At the last trumpet, they shall just be changed. They won't be caught up. So, but they will be immortal. Whether it's for this earth, after the millennium, when that will be, what they will be, we'll have to find out. The church age will have long been passed at this time. And then you go to 1 Thessalonians 4:17, you'll find out that this is caught up. See? Changed and caught up. There's a difference to immortality. A complete, more glorified, and you go through Corinthians there, much more glory. The glory of the Son. And then Acts 1:11, they said this same Jesus will come as the same manner that you've seen him go as he left Israel, the Jews, the kingdom. He'll come back there to the kingdom. Now it's evidence that you got three different changes here. You got a different one in Thessalonians. They're caught up to meet him in the air. That's the fourth chapter, when he sets his throne. When the whole thing will be out of joint. That's, I'm trusting, is when you hope to get your glorified body. And you'll know it then, and everybody else will know it. And notice he's going to do this all at once. Before Elijah and Moses, they're on the, they got theirs, they know what they were, but it wasn't a group thing like the bride is. Nobody has got this before anybody else. And Paul says, you can't do it until we do it. We got to all do this together. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? They're waiting for us. And the Lord's waiting to do this. He'll do it. As sure as you became a human being in the way you were, it's the way you're going to be. And you'll say, boy, it was just like he said it. Huh? Paul, you sure had a mystery, didn't you? And, you see, he will, and will, Thessalonians, Acts, and there, you'll see that it would have to have been three different things. See? And difference in what goes on there. So, but we're all going to be put into an immortal, incorruptible, no pain, it says there in the tears, as Brother Old Franklin would say, there's no tears because there's nothing to cry about. What are you going to cry when you haven't got any pain? What are you going to cry about if you're a beautiful, wonderful, and you stand there with all that glory for Him? What's there to cry about? Huh? Nothing. So, everything will be taken care of there. And then he says, 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. And this is how he's going to end that up. Notice he ends it up in patience again. Just like the fifth chapter. You know, you want this character? He says, hoping. Tribulation brings patience. Oh, no. Of course, that's character. This patience is the patience of not so much waiting for the character and everything, but waiting to see the Lord. And waiting to see the expression on His face when He sees you. Huh? You girls, have you ever had some guy look at you and looked at his expression? Huh? How about that? See? You want to really see the expression there? Huh? I mean, you can't hide something like that, can you? Can't hide it. So, we hope, but it's going to be with patience. A lot, how many of you have had to have patience upon patience upon patience waiting for this? But he that will come, will come. Okay? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, you don't know which one of you has ever, when you started out, prayed for this. Prayed for going through all this groaning and moaning. Huh? No, you didn't pray for this. But the Spirit, He prayed for you. Many times He prayed for you. And said, no, she don't want that, Lord. You're searching her heart. You know she's got a heart for you. Okay. She wants it worked out. And then the Holy Spirit does the work. He's the one that does it. He's the one that leads you. And without Him, you're not going to get there. He's got to do this work. What a work He's doing. 45th Psalm. She's all glorious within. Ron, he's not here tonight. He come running back to me and he said, John, you know these people, they don't know what I'm going through. Well, of course not. I told him, Ron, only the Lord can know that. They're never going to know what you went through. That's Him and you. And of course, it says, first it says she stands there, the queen sits, but she's standing there on the outside for the display of the beauty. But then it says, to Him, she is most glorious within. See, He only knows those needlework things He put in your life, and He's the only one that'll ever know it. That's private to Him. So don't try to think that even your wife or your husband is able to see that, because they can't. Actually, that's the under. What do you think of a woman that dresses and shows off all her underwear to other people? See, that's for Him. And only you and Him will know who you are. But He knows who you are. And He knows every bit of who you are, because He's the one that sowed them beautiful things in your life. The one and only husband. The one and only that will know you. Isn't that good enough for you to quit trying to get everybody to understand you? They can't even really understand themselves at times. How are they going to know somebody else? But anyway, the Spirit, He does this with groanings and things that you don't know. But you leave it in His hand. And then you don't want to get with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to do these things? To talk through you? You don't want that? Of course you want that. And He, the Father, searches. He looks for the heart that wants this. You say, well, I haven't got the heart for it. I'm not material. He can make you material. He'll do that part. Knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we'll find out His purpose. And the will of God as that you will be conformed to that full image of a full-grown child of God, full of glory, not only in this life, of course it can't be exposed, but in that which is to come. Let's stand, Walter.